thumbs hooked in my pockets and wasn't even looking directly at her. I squinted into the horizon as if watching the flight of a far-off airplane. I approached her the way you'd close in on a limping stray dog, one that might lick your hand with hopeful affection or might lunge, upper lip drawn back to show a mouthful of teeth. I didn't speak until I was almost within arm's reach of her.
"Oh, hi, Mrs. Bukes," I said, pretending to notice her for the first time. "You okay?"
Her head swung toward me, and her plump face instantly settled into a look of pleasant benignity.
"Well, I've got myself all turned around. I walked all the way down here, but I don't know why. This isn't my day to clean."
I hadn't seen that one coming. Once upon a time, Shelley had mopped and vacuumed and tidied the house, 4 hours every Tuesday and Friday afternoon. She was already old by then, although she had the brisk, muscular vigor of an Olympic curler. On Fridays, she left us with a plate of cake-soft, date-filled cookies, protected by a film of saran wrap.
Man, those were some cookies.
You can't get anything like them anywhere anymore, and no creme brulee at the Four Seasons ever tasted so good with a cup of tea. But by August 1988, I was just weeks away from beginning high school, and it had been almost half my life since Shelley had cleaned for us on a regular basis. She'd stopped working for us after her triple bypass in 1982, when the doctor told her she ought to take some time to rest herself. She'd been resting ever since. I'd never given it much thought, but if I had, I might have wondered why she ever took the job in the first place. It wasn't like she needed the money.
"Mrs. Bukes? Did my dad maybe ask you to come in and help out with Marie?"
Marie was the woman who'd replaced her, a sturdy, not terribly bright girl in her early 20s, with a big laugh and a heart-shaped can, who provided imagery for my nightly sausage-pounding ceremonies. I couldn't imagine why my father might think Marie would need a hand. We weren't, as far as I knew, anticipating company. I'm not sure we ever even had company. Her smile faltered briefly. She shot one of those anxious looks back over her shoulder, down the road. When she returned her gaze to me, there was only the faintest trace of good humor on her face, and her eyes were frightened.
"I don't know, Bucko. You tell me. Was I supposed to clean out the tub? I know I didn't get to it last week, and it's pretty dingy."
Shelley Bukes pawed through her cloth tote, muttering to herself. When she looked up, her lips were squeezed together in an expression of frustration.
"Piss on it. I walked out of the house and forgot the fucking Ajax."
I twitched, could not have been more startled if she'd pulled open that trench coat and revealed she was naked. Shelley Bukes wasn't anyone's idea of an uptight old lady. I had a memory of her cleaning our house in a John Belushi t-shirt, but I had never heard her use the word fuck. Even piss on it was quite a bit saltier than her usual conversational fare. Shelley didn't notice my surprise, just went on to say,
"Tell your dad I'll take care of the tub tomorrow. I don't need more than 10 minutes to make it shine like no one ever put their ass in it."
Her cloth shoulder bag drooped open. I looked into it and saw a battered, grimy lawn gnome, several empty soda cans, and a single raggedy old sneaker. "I'd better go home," she said suddenly, almost robotically. "The Afrikaner will be wondering where I got to." The Afrikaner was her husband, Lawrence Bukes, who had emigrated from Cape Town before I was born. At 70, Larry Bukes was one of the most powerfully built men I knew, a former weightlifter with the sculpted arms and vein-threaded neck of a circus strongman. Being huge was his primary professional responsibility. He had made his money on a series of gyms he'd opened in the 70s, just as the oiled, mind-boggling mass of Arnold Schwarzenegger was muscling its way into the public consciousness. Larry and Arnie had once both appeared in the same calendar. Larry was February and flexed in the snow, wearing nothing but a tight black hammock for his nuts. Arnie was June and stood glistening on the beach, a girl in a bikini perched on each gargantuan arm. Shelley darted a last look over her shoulder and then began to shuffle off, moving in a direction that would take her even farther from her house. The moment she looked away from me, she forgot me. I could see it in the way all expression dropped from her face. Her lips began to move as she whispered quiet questions to herself.
"Shelley, hey, I was gonna ask Mr. Bukes if about..."